Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of James. The book of James, please, this morning. Right after the book of Hebrews, the book of James, chapter 1. And we're going to read two verses out of chapter 1. That's verse 1 and 2 out of chapter 1 of the book of James this morning. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. If you'd please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. James chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Beginning at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. A lot of folks would love to be here this morning, but can't. God, I pray that you'd work in our hearts today because of us being here and on the internet this morning. God, work in our hearts. Help us to be better. Better Christians, better parents, grandparents, wives, husbands, because of what we hear today. Help us to love you better. Now, Father, we pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit for this task. Use him, empower him. And one last thing, Father, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they settle that before they leave this room this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask again that you turn your electronic stuff off, please, and give us a break, and everybody that's around you. Also, sit still now and listen very carefully, if you would. The book of James is a book written by the Lord Jesus' half-brother. James is writing here, God is giving this to James, writing to Christians. And I want you to notice with me in particular, James chapter 1 and verse 2, please. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now in the book of James and in the Bible, the word temptation has two different meanings. And in this chapter, it'll define both of them for you. You know, the best commentary on the Bible is the King James Bible, it really is. You just read it, it'll help you so much. The word temptation we're familiar with is temptation to sin. That's down in verse 13 to 15, where he talks about let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God never uses temptation in the life of a person, because if you fell to it, then he'd be part of your sin. So that's temptation to sin. That's what we understand temptation as most commonly. But go back to verse number 12, if you would. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In truth, verses 1 to 12 is talking about temptation through trials and testing in life. And that's what James 1 and verse 2 is. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different types of trials and testings in life. Now here's his admonition. Look at me. He wants you to count it, but to count it all joy. Now can I ask you a question? How do you look at your life and what life has brought to you? How do you look at it? We're going to talk to you about a little bit of Christian mathematics this morning. He said, count it all joy. You know, when you think about it this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, now look, how you look at your life and what it has been up to this time and what it is right now, how you look at it, how you count it up. It means to add it up. It means to estimate it. It means to see its proper value. Count it up. How you count it up determines what kind of life you're going to have and what kind of life you do have right now. See, bitter, disillusioned people are folks who haven't counted it right. So if you knew what I went through in my life, now look at me for just a moment. I'm not trying to belittle anybody's problems because God's children got problems this morning. We've all been through stuff. Is that agreeable? Stuff means stuff. No one gets to an adult life without having gone through a lot of valleys, a lot of mountaintops, by the way, a lot of failures, a lot of successes, a lot of joys, a lot of sorrows. We all get there. Nobody gets to this age in life, nobody does, without having gone through diverse temptations, trials and testings in life. I guarantee you this. People who wind up with a bitterness, a skepticism, a lack of joy in their life, a sadness and a sorrow about them that just pervades everything about their life, hasn't been counting it all with joy. You say, well, there's some things I can look back on. I can count that with joy. He didn't say that. He said, count it all. Count it all with joy. Then when you fall into diverse temptations. When you fall, that means things come to you. Things you did not expect. We understand a fall, don't we? You're walking along, boop, down you go. You know what I'm saying? You trip over something. When I was stationed up in the Arctic, up in Greenland, and good time of the year, most of the year, snow and ice and cold. And you would literally have to be very careful when you walked because there was so much ice on the ground that inevitably, boop, you'd be walking along and the next thing you know, you're laying on your back. Up in Greenland, we had an expression. We call it being bit by a snow snake. You're walking on, all of a sudden, down you go. You fall into diverse temptations. Things that come to us through life, trials and testings. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How you add up the things that life have brought to you will make the difference in what your life is now and what it will be. You got to get the math right. It's an old story, but it's a good one. There's this young man who was raised on a farm by simple, so-called uneducated parents. There's a difference between stupid and ignorant, you know. We see it every week in the news. But the truth of the matter is, raised by simple parents without any higher degrees of education, just simple, hard-working people, salt of the earth. They sent him off to college. He comes back after his first year of college, and they're sitting at the dinner table. And Dad says, well, son, what have they been learning you over there? He goes, Dad, it's amazing. My eyes are open. In fact, Dad, I've learned something that, frankly, you taught me that just wasn't right. Dad, I learned in college that 1 + 1 is actually 3. And the dad said, what? 1 + 1, Dad, is actually 3. Now, I know what you think. You think it's 2, and that's what you taught me, but Dad, that's not true. And I learned this in college. 1 + 1 is actually 3. By the time Mom came out of the kitchen, she had 2 chickens, full-cooked chickens on the platters. She put them down on the table, and the dad said, 1 + 1 is 3. He goes, that's right, Dad. Look at that right there. 1 + 1 is actually 3. Dad said, interesting. Put a fork in one chicken, put it on his plate, put a fork in the other chicken, put it on his wife's plate, and said, son, you eat that 3rd chicken. You don't count it right, it doesn't come out right. Yes? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How do you look at what life has brought to you? The Apostle Paul was good at counting things in his life correctly. We won't go to the passage this morning, but in Philippians chapter 3, that great passage of forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Before he makes that statement, he talks about his life, what he was before he got saved. Pharisee of the Pharisees, all his religious training and all the degrees of learning that he had. And then he would say, but you know what, I count it all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He learned to count it upright. I want to talk to you very simply this morning about how do you count it all. Well, first of all, how do you count it all? How? Do you see it all of it? And do you see it correctly? Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Here's what he meant. He said, all that stuff, all my religious background, all my religious training, all that I had learned in the religions that I was raised in, all of it, he said, I lost every bit of it on the dirt of the Damascus Road. When I looked up into the light and I met Jesus Christ and I got saved. And he said, you know something? All that I had gained, I really found was nothing but loss. But the good thing is, when I lost it all, I found Jesus. And that's more important than anything else. How do you count it all? Some people today, they because of the tragedies and the difficulties of their life, they're holding things against God. When in truth, whether we want to accept it or not, God is wanting to use those very difficulties to get us to turn and come to Christ. Most people will not get saved until something difficult happens in their life. I do not know anyone, not one in 36 years of ministry, who ever went through a trial, a difficulty, a loss, a tragedy, a difficulty of some kind that brought them to Christ, who regretted it later. Now, I don't care what the difficulty was. Sometimes God had to come in and just kind of wipe them out financially or upset their entire life or maybe take a loved one or put them through the crucible of suffering and their own personal lives of health or whatever. But you know what? After all of that, it awakened them to the fact that this life is not all there is. I'm not getting everything I wanted out of life. And they turned to Jesus Christ and got saved. Never met one person who ever went through all of that and said, you know what? I still regret everything I lost. Not one of them. Every one of them said, I'd have cancer again if it was necessary. If it brought me to Jesus and made me wake up and see that I'm a sinner and need salvation. How do you count it all? This man had all the degrees of learning and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the Israel today still considers Gamaliel one of the greatest teachers of the law. That was 2,000 years ago. And Paul said, I sat at his feet, but all that's lost to me because I lost it all when I came to Christ, but I got to Jesus and I'm glad for that. How do you count up all this stuff in life? You still look at it like, well, it just wasn't fair that I had to lose all that to come to Christ. You got salvation, didn't you? Let me be very clear. I'm not saying you have to give up stuff to get saved. I'm saying God sometimes has to yank things out from underneath our feet to show us we need Jesus. That's what he was doing. Paul was riding on the Damascus Road with letters of death in his hand to kill Christians. But God had been working on his heart and convicting him about what he was doing. The light shone from heaven. He got down off the high horse of his religion. And in the dirt of Damascus Road, Paul saw the persecutor, met Jesus Christ, and got saved. He said, you know, everything after that was different for me. All that I had gained was gone, but I came to Christ, and I am so thankful for that. Count it all joy. 33 years of pastoring this church, almost 33 years now. I think I've done over 350 funerals. Many times I have seen where the death of a loved one awakens somebody to their need of salvation. You say, well, you're telling me God killed that person so that person would get saved? All I'm saying is this. God can use the most difficult of time in life to get somebody to wake up. Can I ask you a question? What's it going to get you to, what's it going to take for you? What's going to have to happen in your life to realize that God loves you and Christ died for you and you need to come to him? Well, I don't want to come to him in a time of difficulty because I don't want it to look like a crutch in my life. You know, that's your pride that's talking. God take you. We sang it this morning, just as I am without one plea. We sang that song today, and I was thinking about all those Billy Graham crusades. In fact, I was preaching in Southern California last week, drove by the Angels Stadium, the Anaheim Angels, I think it's LA Angels now, Stadium. 1970s, I was there in a Billy Graham crusade, set up one of those bleacher seats and heard him preach, and then the great choir would sing Just As I Am, and folks came down the aisle to trust Christ. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, God wants you just like you are. Don't let your pride keep you out of heaven, because it will certainly send you straight to hell. But I don't want to use him as a crutch. Use him. That's what he's here for. He wants you to come just like you are, a sinner needing salvation, and come to Christ. Don't miss that now. Don't miss it. God works in our lives in different ways to bring us to an understanding of our need of salvation. Paul counted it lost as long as he got Jesus out of the program. And I'll tell you what, you ought to do the same. Count it all joy. See, I grew up in a drunkard's home. Somebody told me God loved me. I had no problem with that. Matter of fact, I thought, you've got to be kidding me. God loves me. God loves me. And I wasn't upset because of my drunkard past, my family's drunkard past. I was just glad that God loved me. Made my heart tender to the things of God. Didn't make me bitter. didn't make me angry. It didn't harden me to him. It helped me to come to him. Oh, yeah. Do I count it all joy that I grew up in a drunkard's home for a period of time? No. Do I count it all joy that that brought me to Jesus? Yes. In a minute. So many people today are living with the poochy lip disease. Oh, if you just knew all I went through in my life, Pastor Johnson. And I'm not trying to belittle that. I'm very serious. I'm not trying to mock that or belittle it. But question, if it wakes you up to come to Jesus, that's still a good thing. How do you count it all? Oh, by the way, the same is true of a Christian who needs to rededicate their life to Jesus Christ. It happens, doesn't it? You know, Luke 15, I was reading it this morning. Again, Luke 15, the prodigal son leaves home, goes to the far country, wastes it all on riotous living, lives in the pig pen, eats pig food, has to come home. Every time I read the prodigal son, I see myself twice. The first time in my salvation. The second time, after 10 years of salvation, walked away from God. And in my backslidden condition, God in his mercy allowed me to rededicate my life. Now, let's be clear. We're not talking about salvation twice. You get saved once. But I don't know, this is probably just Mike Johnson this morning and none of you, so I don't mean to bore you with this word of statement this morning, but sometimes you get a little sideways with God after you get saved. Yes? Okay, I told you it was just me. I know. You've been straight down the line, never varied, never walked off the path one moment in your life. Huh? But aren't you glad he's a God of a second chance? Aren't you glad for what he did to allow you to come back, to wake you up and show you that where you're going is not the right way? How do you count it up? Well, I was doing really good. Sometimes I hear preachers say, well, before I went in the ministry, I was a successful businessman. I had a six-figure income, and I was doing really well, and then I gave it all up for Jesus. And I think to myself, that guy's not counting it right. I gave up nothing but hell to go to heaven. And I gave up nothing but my will for God's will, and I take God's will, my friend. I'll take it in a heartbeat. With all of it, I take every bit of it. I count it all. In fact, I had my life in order. I was a young man. I was saved, but not right with the Lord. I was saved, but I was going my way instead of God's way. And he, in a hot August night of 1975, in mercy, allowed me to turn it around and come back to him. Thank God for a God of a second chance. I got out of the service, I was going to be an air traffic controller. Tell pilots where to go. Now I'm a preacher, I tell Baptists where to go. It's all good. You know, I would have retired at, I'd have retired at 42 years of age. Full government benefit retirement. Could have double dipped in this year, I could have retired with two retirements. So you ever regret that, Pastor Johnson? Not for a second. I gave up nothing but my will for his, and I'm very thankful for that. Hey, how do you count it all? Number two, when do you count it all? You ever go through something and just, it's the most difficult thing you can imagine, and through it all, you keep telling yourself, but this is wonderful. This is such a blessing. Right in the moment, the doctor comes in and says, here's your trouble, and you go, thank you, doctor. You go to work on Monday and hand you a pink slip instead of a paycheck. Before you get in the car, you bow your head and say, thank you, Jesus. This is wonderful. I got fired. When do you count it all joy? See, it's rarely at the time that we see it all. Oh, by the way, that's not just bad news. That's good news, too. You go to work and you get a raise, and then you dislocate your arm, your shoulder, patting yourself on the back for how good a worker you are. Huh? You don't count it all up like you're supposed to. People complain about their job. I always tell them, well, then go get another one. There's a lot of folks who want to take your job in a heartbeat. Go get another one. Truth of the matter is, when do you count it up? At the time when something really good happens in your life, it's a blessing, do you stop and say, man, this is wonderful. This is God. This is fantastic. This is the Lord in my life. Do you see it like that? See, for most of us, we're going to count it all joy a little later on down the road. When I go to bed at night in a drunkard's home and I hear my drunk stepfather as a bartender come home, and he and my mom would immediately get into an argument. And that argument always escalated into a fist fight of some kind. And that big raw bone guy would beat on my little mama. And she's a little two-by-squirt Texan, and she'd fight back. I've seen her, literally seen her, take a man 6'2" and knock him off his feet. I never mess with my mama. Never mess with my mother. Right over here with Central Valley, now Shasta Lake City, Central Valley, Project City. Walking across that roll linoleum floor, had a mosaic of a peacock in it in the kitchen area and then the dining room area. Little old ratty little house. Walk across that floor in the morning, my PJs, to go get a box of cereal out of the cabinet and a little bit of milk to have some breakfast and step on one of my mom's teeth. See her in the morning. She go to work every day. See her in the morning patting that makeup on her eye to cover up that black eye. I stood there and I thought, boy, this is, God's going to use this. I had no idea at the time that somehow, some way, in the omnipotence of God, in his omniscience, that somehow, some way, God would allow me later on to help people with the very same problems, and I could identify and understand that. Did God do that in my life so I could? No. Did he use it? Yes. Now I count it all joy. See, now at the time, most of us don't have the character to do it. I just don't see why I have to. This does not make any sense to me. Well, of course it doesn't. I'd go to bed at night hearing fists pounding on people and chairs being broken and furniture being tipped over and curse words. By the time I was 6, 7 years old, I could use every curse word that was known to mankind because I heard them all the time in my house. You think I saw that as a 6, 7-year-old boy? Are you kidding me? I just thought, this is no way to live. I don't want to live like this. My brother Jack, 2 years older than me, ran away one night. I still remember that night. We slept in the same room, 2 little beds there. Heard the window slide open. I looked up, and there he was with a little sack over his shoulder. I was 6. He was 8. I said, "Bud, what are you doing?" He goes, "I'm running away. I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it." Because after he beat on her, he come beat on us. I said, "Well, just a minute, I'll get Greg." He goes, "No, I can't take you, Mike. You can't go with me." I said, "Man, don't leave me here. You can't leave me like this." He said, I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't even know what I'm going to do, but I can't live here anymore. Bye." And he jumped out the window and off into the moonlight. Well, they found him the next day and brought him home. He got a beating. You think I saw all that and said, "Oh, this is good. This is really good." Huh? Well, by the way, been a few times as a pastor where I didn't see it at the moment either. Where it did, how could that possibly be? This be any good? People look at me. It does not say count it all joy when it goes your way. Count it all joy when you get what you want. Count it all joy when you understand it all. He said, it just says count it all joy when you fall into divers different types of trials and testing in life. I do believe this. I believe with all of my soul. If we'll love him and live in his purpose, as Romans 8:28 tells us to do, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. I believe we'll stay in the will of God and do right. It will come out right. We'll understand it better later on. Well, I'd like some answers now, Pastor Johnson. Well, then you're probably not going to get them. I've just found if you give him time, he has made everything beautiful in his time. I'll tell you one thing. You know, this is old-fashioned stuff, and so I'm not apologizing, but just stay with me. I'll tell you what, it makes me appreciate my life. I am so thankful for the life God has given me. I am so thankful to have a home and a wife that loves me and children and grandchildren. I'm so thankful that my life is so far removed from that now. I can't even imagine the way it is. You say, "Well, you talk about it when you preach." Only when I preach, I never think about it. Never. Before my mom went to heaven, I said, "Mom, remember that house we lived there in CV? You remember what she said?" "If I'm up there sometime, I'll show you. I'm pretty sure I remember where it was." She never came. I never saw it. It's okay. What am I going to do? Go over there and put flowers in the driveway? When do you count it all? And then also this, why do you count it all? Why do you count it all? Why do you add up these things in your life? I'll tell you why. Because God owes me. Yeah. God owes me. God took some things from me. God took some people from me. God took a job from me. God took this from me. I had things in life and it was all gone. And it must be, if you're saying it's God, then I'm going to hold it against him. Why do you count it all up? Oh, the other one. So you can blame everybody that ever did you wrong in your life. See, that's where these bitter, twisted people come in life. They're holding all this stuff against everybody who ever did them wrong. Well, one more time. Let me try to be a little more insensitive, if I may. You're not the only one on the planet. Okay? The truth is, everybody in this room has been done wrong by somebody somewhere in their life. Agreed? Can I get a witness on that this morning? Okay, thank you very much. So then what's the deal? How come some of us look like we got baptized in grapefruit juice? Got a face on us so long we eat oats out of a gas tank. Pick up carpet fuzz with our lip because we walk around going, how come see people like that? And some people, same stuff, sometimes worse, seem to go around with life of joy in their life. You know, they count it all with joy. That's why. Because why? Because they're not going to hold anything against God. I cannot hold God accountable for what people do. That is not his fault. We are free moral agents like you are. My drunk stepfather named Van, I settled up with that man a long time ago. He died most likely without Christ and is most likely in hell today. So I bet you're glad. No, I'm not. I wouldn't wish anybody to be in hell forever. That what he tortured us with when we were children, I wouldn't want that man in hell. See, look at me, because I counted it right now. See, you get the grace of God's forgiveness in your life. You can let it go. Oh, and because you realize you failed a few people in your life too, huh? Huh? Oh, yes, you have. Isn't it interesting how easily we find forgiveness and how difficult it is to give it? We're seeing something wrong here. We're not counting this up right. Why do you count it all up? I count it all up to put it under the grace of God and his forgiveness and mercy, and I go on with life. Hey, I'm not going to be one of those people who walks around a PTSD Christian. Yeah. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm not belittling these things, and please, I want to walk very carefully here. But see, I don't understand something. Look at me. I don't understand this. I don't understand people who've been through similar stuff come out of it with a totally different attitude than others. And it's not genetic, and it ain't a disease. It's how we count this thing up. Count it all joy. So I went through all of that in my life, but you know what? One thing's for sure, it isn't happening now. That was the past. That ain't the way it is anymore. I look back and think about my mama. I don't think about her with a black high and teeth knocked out of her head. I'll tell you what I think about with my mama. Fried chicken. See, how do you count? Why do you count it like that? You count it your way, I'll count it mine. She's a Texan, made fried chicken in a black iron skillet with Crisco, white gravy, mashed potatoes. I'd go away to the service, come home. She said, Mike, I'm fried chicken. I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes, Mike. And I do say last of all when I say, where do you count it all? You know, heaven's going to straighten a lot of things out. Did you know that? Now, let me be clear. It's not like you're going to go to heaven and walk around in heaven for centuries going, okay, God, how come August the 14th, 4 o'clock? What was that all about? The Bible expressly says, in that time you shall ask me nothing. But somehow or another, heaven just kind of straightens everything out. It's kind of God's way of kind of wiping the hard drive clean. It even says in Revelation 22, all former things will pass away. But I found that, like I said a moment ago, I found that in life, sometimes you get a little clarity on what happened if you give him time. My pastor, Brother Howes, used to have a couple of poem books. I'm not into poetry much. I respect people who can do poetry. I can't do it. You know, rub-a-dub-lub, let's eat the grub, yay, Buddha. I mean, I can't do poetry. It just doesn't, I'm not artistically minded in that direction. He used to have a poem about when he would be a little boy living in a drunkard's home himself, and his little mama would be sitting there, and she would be embroidering something, the wooden hoop and the embroidery. And he said, from my side, I look up, and it was all jumbled threads. Didn't make any sense to me. And he said, "Mama, what are you doing?" She said, "Well, son, I'm embroidering a beautiful bird. You'll see it when I'm finished." He said, "And I would look at the jumbled threads from my side. It didn't make any sense to me." He said, "But when she finished, she said, 'Now come here, son.' And she sit me on her lap, and she showed me her side of it, and it was a beautiful bird or a sunrise or a sunset. And from her side, it made sense. From mine, it didn't." It's kind of how life is sometimes. We see the wrong side of this thing. It doesn't always make sense to us. Heaven, God kind of wipes the slate clean, and we get to start it all new, right, and everything's good. Sometimes even in life, God will bring it to clarity for us. But I find it's from His perspective where it'll look right, not mine. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.